You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Well, the Flames get outscored 8-3 over the weekend. Drop a spot or two in the standings. Everything's coming up Millhouse. Let's get into it.
Well, it looks like the Flames are finally dropping in the standings a little bit. I don't think anybody's really all that surprised. I know there's a lot of people holding on hope that the Flames are going to make the playoffs. If you check out the wild card standings right now, the Flames are at 71 points, and the second wild card team has 85, so that's 14 points, and we only have 12 games remaining. So doesn't seem very possible, but, you know, it's not impossible, I suppose.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm not saying there's a chance. Yeah. For those of you listening who would like the Flames to make the playoffs, I get it. It's hard watching the team lose. It's hard, you know, watching them get out skilled all the time because there's just not all that much skill on the team. But it's what we've got to deal with right now. And honestly, you know, having a relatively high draft pick, most likely top 10 draft pick coming in the next next couple months here would really help the Flames in the long term, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as it sits right now, we're 23rd in the league, which means we are drafting in the 10th spot, obviously pre-lottery. So, you know, there's a chance we can move up a couple of spots even from that, hopefully. You know, if we can jump up a few, that would be ideal.
I don't see us getting into the 26th spot. Ottawa is just a little bit too far behind. It's possible, but I don't think so. I do think that it's quite possible. You know, Seattle's only 2 points behind us, and Pittsburgh's 1 point behind us. I think those are both possible. Holy shit, Seattle has 5 less wins than us and only has 2 less points.
All right.
gotta love the standing setup that the league has.
Yeah, it's weird, and you know that's how important that win was against Pittsburgh on the 2nd of March, right? Had we lost that, we would be inverted with them right now. So,
yeah.
So what happens when your players get cocky and start scoring goals when they shouldn't be? I'm only kidding. As far as the players go, I'm obviously more excited that they're wanting to win. I want them to continue fighting as hard as they can. I just hope that they score more than us.
That's something I actually want to talk about, because I see a whole lot of discourse online. I see a lot of people complaining that fans want losses. And we'll get to that in a second, but I see a lot of people complaining that the fans want the players to tank. And I don't think I see very many fans at all saying, you know, they want the players to tank or the coaches to tank. Nobody wants that. We want to watch exciting hockey. We want to watch them try. Mm-hmm. It's not like we want to watch lazy back checks and half-assed chances and all that type of stuff. I mean, we get that sometimes because that's the personnel we have, but that's not what we want.
Yeah.
We want what we have currently, which is a team that when they try hard, doesn't win.
Yeah, it's not that people are wishing for losses. Yeah, I agree. Like, we want the best draft pick possible. I mean, we've spent better part of two decades or more drafting in roughly the same spot, and it really hasn't gotten us very far.
Yeah.
You know, the couple of times that we drafted higher up, you know, none of those players are around anymore. So, you know, it's just time. Like, we need to get into the eventual top five if we can, and
hopefully next year.
Yeah, obviously that's not going to be this year unless, you know, a miracle happens at the lottery. But I think as long as that effort is there, you just want to see growth from your young players, right? And 100%. You know, we don't know which of the veterans are going to be around for next season. So that's what I want. I just want to see anybody that's 25 years old or less. I just want to see effort. I want to see growth. I just want to see a good team game.
Absolutely. That's all we're asking for, is watch the young players play. And also, another thing that I see a lot of people talking about and hear a lot of people talking about is, you know, why isn't Coronado playing? Why is Peltier in the minors? Blah, 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 blah. And, like, you still have to have a little bit of accountability would be the word I'm looking for. You've got to have a little bit of accountability on the team, because if you don't have any accountability, then nobody's actually getting better and nobody's learning the lessons they need to learn to become better players. Those young players like Peltier, for instance, if Peltier sees the effort that like Rooney puts in nightly, but if Rooney gets scratched and Peltier gets put in instead of Rooney, then that's not teaching Peltier that he needs to play better in order to be in the lineup, because he hasn't been very good, right?
No, he's definitely struggled this year, for sure. I mean, he looked way better last year when it was all shiny new to him. Not really sure what the reasoning is this year, whether it be some hesitation maybe after an injury that kept him out for the majority of the season. I'm not really sure the reason, but it's clear that there's something going on. He just needs to take another step. And I think maybe some games in the A will will help him with that, right?
And he said the same thing. And I was really impressed with that. Like, not that I've ever been unimpressed with the way Peltier is with the media or anything like that. I've always been very impressed with the way Peltier is with the media. But you don't hear that from a young player getting sent down very often. Like, you'll hear them say, "I understand why," but you don't often hear them say, "I agree, I haven't been good. I need to develop more." Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. Like,
yeah, well, exactly. And that's what you want from your players, right? That's actual accountability.
Yeah.
That's not making excuses. That's, yes, I haven't been good enough and I plan on being better.
Exactly. And I have no doubt he will be. Now, I think, you know, I think people are starting to notice now that Peltier might not be that top six player. He may very well be eventually, but he might not be that top six player that people had him pegged for last year. Like, yeah, he's definitely going to, in the next couple of years, become that. Maybe not. Maybe he is going to be a third liner. Maybe he's going to become a kind of like a better version of Mangiapane, which is perfectly fine. We, you know, teams need that too. You ask Tampa Bay, you know, the one of the big reasons they won those cups, and sure, they'll talk about Stamkos and they'll talk about Point and they'll talk about Kucherov and they'll talk about Vasilevsky and Hedman and Sergachev, but they will also talk a lot, and they still talk a lot about Blake Coleman, and they talk a lot about Barkley Goodrow and the other guy on that line. I can't even remember right now, but you need those players, right?
Yeah, every successful team has a solid middle six and bottom six.
Yeah.
Like, it's a necessity. You know, all lines need to be able to score now. It's not like the way it was, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, where, you know, almost your bottom six were just hired goons, right? Don't get me wrong, I love that kind of hockey, but that's just not how the game is played anymore. So, you know, we're gonna need those useful guys, you know, in that third line spot. And I think Peltier is, I mean, at least for next year, I think that's where he should be slated.
Kind of right. Yeah. I'm like right where Mangiapane is, kind of.
You know, he can take his place. Speaking of accountability, right? I think that's a piss poor message myself. That
Mangiapane's even playing.
Yeah, you got guys trying to come up from the A and crack the lineup on a regular basis. Meanwhile, you've got Mangiapane, who's just a fucking disaster in 98% of the games that he plays.
Yeah.
Can't hit the net, can't stay on his feet, can't battle for a puck, can't. There's just so many things on his list of things he can't do.
Yeah.
But still, he gets ice time every game. So that's, to me, that's frustrating.
It makes very little sense to me other than his salary, but I've always found that to be a pretty bad excuse to have a player playing just because they're making the money. You know, scratch a player if they're playing badly, especially if they're playing that badly. honestly, like I've said it once, I'll say it 100 times. Mangiapane is a classic example of why I don't stare at fucking analytics all day long and use them as the be all end all like a lot of people do these days. Like, he's got fantastic analytics, but he can't
get in there.
Like, you've got fans all over social media saying, "Oh, like I saw or I heard that the fans in the dome were getting all excited, and I looked up and I saw Mangiapane was on a breakaway, and I just looked back down because I knew that he was going to miss by 10 feet high and 3 feet wide. And I knew that if he wasn't going to do that, then it was going to go right in the goalie's chest. And like, or he'd fan on a pass, or he'd whatever, right? Like, he does.
Yeah.
He's so frustrating to watch. And I don't think Matt Coronato is fully ready for the NHL. I really don't. I think he's going to be great when one of these days, probably about halfway through next year, he's going to start going off. I really do believe that. He's probably, I'll make a prediction right now, he scores 25 next year. But
that's a bold prediction.
Right now, he deserves to be in way more than Mangiapane. The rest of the forwards, I'm fine with. I think they all, the ones that are playing are the ones that deserve to play, other than Mangiapane.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Coronato is sitting there not playing, which, you know, Mangiapane is the only one who's playing that doesn't deserve to, and you could easily throw Coronato into that spot.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and then you've got Doer that has watched quite a bit of this year, but he's struggled, right? And I'm sure he knows he's struggled. He hasn't looked as dynamic in almost every single game he's played this year. I mean, he hasn't been bad, but he certainly hasn't stood out for the right reasons.
Absolutely.
You know, so I don't mind him there. But yeah, I mean, Mangiapane needs to take a seat and make room for somebody that's hungry, young, and somebody that deserves to be in that spot.
You know who also deserves to be in that spot? And he's a prospect. He's actually not as old as we think he is. I'm just going to look it up. They don't know exactly how old he is. But Ben Jones has really played well for the Wranglers this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's 25, so I guess he's not a prospect, but he's a guy who deserves a shot. And when you have a guy like Mangiapane who's not playing well and is actively making fans groan every time he touches the puck, maybe the accountability thing, maybe it's time to give Ben Jones a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Jones making some time in a call up this year, but yeah.
Clapka, I mean,
absolutely Clapka, yes. But I think the guys that are already here need to be playing.
Coronato is the main one.
Yeah, Coronato I think needs to get more of a legitimate chance. I wouldn't mind seeing him play with Backlund and Coleman, to be honest with you.
I think that would be really good.
That would be a really gritty line. I think he would learn, you know, a way better two-way game, some accountability in his own zone, some forechecking. I think he would.
I think he's actually a pretty smart defensive player.
He is.
Have you noticed that too?
Yeah, he's sneaky, right?
He's sneaky. I've noticed and a few he seems like to
be in position.
Yeah, a few like pass interceptions that it didn't seem like he was in position for that he still got to. I've noticed a lot mm-hmm. with Coronato, which has been really, really good to see. And then he's got the speed to, you know, race up and get that puck and go the other way, right? So,
yeah,
I've enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, he's had some really good plays. He's also had some, you know, I'll call them minor league gaffes as well, but you know, he's young. He's going to learn. You know, those things are going to happen for the next, you know, calendar year, I suspect.
Yeah. I mean, all of our veteran defensemen do exactly what you just said, minor league gaffes, like consistently. Right. So, and yeah. Again, like Uyghur and Anderson are awesome and I love both of them, but sometimes with high risk players that have a high reward attached to them, that happens.
Speaking of Anderson, how refreshing was it to see him start shooting against Buffalo?
Did you hear what was it, Huska? No, I think it was Dan Lambert, the assistant coach. Did you hear what he said about that? One of the guys on the radio asked him about Rasmus Anderson's shot, and he said this, and it made me laugh a little bit, like sigh kind of. But he said, Rasmus has a really good shot, but nobody on the other team knows it.
Right. Well, it makes sense, right? Because how many times have we said he needs to shoot more? The game against Vancouver, they register him as one shot. He got a goal off of it. But I'm sure that he shot the puck four or five times. He may not have hit the net every time, obviously. But
yeah, he had a couple blocked. So
yeah. But that's what we need. Like, he's got a really good shot, and he needs to just shoot more. That's one thing that has plagued this team for so long, especially on the power play, just pass over, pass over, pass over. I mean, we're brilliant at cycling around the perimeter. Yeah. Man, can we ever hold that puck around the boards? We're so good at it.
Oh.
Just can't get anybody to stand in front of the fucking net while we take a shot at it.
It's pretty frustrating. I actually, on Flames Hub during the game the other day, I actually rewound the game during one of the commercial breaks, because I noticed for like a solid 20 seconds, we were on the power play, and there was four Canucks in front of the net and zero Flames. And they were all, and I actually went back and took a picture of it and shared it. And everyone was like, yeah, that's pretty much how it goes.
Yeah. Well, even Greg Millens was talking about it on the broadcast too, right? Like, it's pathetic. You know, we've got guys like Pospisil that can muck it up in front of the net. We have guys like Zari that would be really good in front of the net. Coronado is really good in front of the net. Like, why are we not using these players to be in that position?
Kadri is supposed to be.
That's his job.
That's literally.
And he refuses to do it. He refuses to do it.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm concerned, if he's going to refuse to do his one job on the power play, then he doesn't get to be on the power play.
Andrew Mangiapane, how has he scored most of his goals in his career in front of the net? Getting dirty. Mm-hmm. One of the few things that I give Tree Living credit for is how he used to talk about Andrew Mangiapane and how he's at his best when he's when his helmet is half off of his head, because he's been in front of the net wrestling and trying to get tips and rebounds.
Yeah.
It's not there for him. It's not there for Kadri. I have a hard time believing that guys like Pospisil and Zari weren't doing that in the minors. I don't know how they expect to score on the power play. Like, we got a power play goal the other night, but what were we, like 3 for 30 or something like that at the time? Like, that's 10%. That's not very fucking good.
Yeah. Well, exactly. We're shy at 15% on the season, which is
hilarious. Not bad.
Yeah. It's obviously not good enough.
Yeah.
It's obviously not good.
It's so bad, it's comical. Yeah.
Did we get one on the power play? Who did we get that against? Was that Buffalo?
Anderson, wasn't it?
No, it was Huberdeau.
Oh, Huberdeau. Buffalo. Oh, yeah. And that wasn't even a shot. And given Kuzmenko was in front of the net trying to get that, but that actually just went off of one of the defensemen that went in. And it was a pass. Yeah,
but that's what happens when you shoot towards the net and you have somebody with an active stick in front of the net. Like, it's just,
when you work for bounces, you often get bounces.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
If you work to create chances, chances will be created.
I actually called into the post-game show from with Steinberg the other day, because he said something so hilarious and obvious that I had to call in and chirp him about it. He said the game winner was where the game was won against Buffalo. Like, oh yeah, that's some quality radio, buddy. He just laughed.
That's some John Madden shit right there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well done, Pat.
You had to write it down. Remember that one, guys. The game winner is where the game was won.
They should put that on a plaque.
Should, yeah. Send it into 960.
You know what? I might get something made and send it over to him.
I
just
hope so.
Just something for his desk.
Yeah. Anyways.
Really funny.
Hockey games move fast. But with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
Let's talk about some of the games we have coming up here. So we have the dreaded game against Chicago, I believe. Is that tomorrow or the next day?
That is on Tuesday the 26th at 6:30.
That'll be Chicago. Tomorrow. Probably today by the time you guys are listening to this. So that's what's your prediction on that one, knowing how the Flames play against, you know, the elite teams of the league?
Let me quickly check the standings. Yep, Chicago's 31st in the league. That looks like a 5-2 victory for Chicago.
I was going to say 4-2, but could be either, really.
I suppose it depends on who's getting the call. Well, does it? I guess it doesn't matter who gets the call in net. We had both Markstrom and Wolf over the weekend. They both let in 4 each.
Yeah. I don't think either of them honestly played particularly badly. Like, well, actually, Wolf only let in 2.
Sure.
And I don't think Wolf has played bad. We should talk about that in a second, but let's talk about the, so you're saying 5-2 for Chicago. I'm saying 4-2 for Chicago. And then St. Louis, who's absolutely ran our show this year.
They freaking ran our show for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Based on where they are in the standings, I feel like we have a way better shot against St. Louis than we do against Chicago.
I do too, because St. Louis is actually fairly close to a playoff spot. I actually was going to say the same thing. 3-1 for Calgary.
Yeah. I would not be surprised by that.
Yeah,
I would not be surprised. You know, and I don't have a problem with Calgary go ahead and, you know, upsetting somebody's chances of making the wild card either. I don't mind being that team.
Me neither. Not at all. I like that. I mean, it's nice to get a higher draft pick, but, you know, having lost, that's also draining, very draining. Remember the beginning of the season where we were on a ridiculous losing streak, and it was hard to watch. Like, I still watched every game I was able to watch, and you know, it's mentally difficult. But
Well, it is, and you don't want players getting into that sort of a funk and carrying it over into next season either.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of tell, especially after last night, that the players are kind of starting to come to the realization that they're not going to be playing in the tournament at the end of the season. So,
yeah, you could tell, like, Backlund started talking about it, about the team needing to just have fun for the last 12 games, he said. And I think there was a couple other guys who said something relatively similar. It just kind of seems like they're coming to the realization that we all, well, not maybe not all of us, but many of us kind of decided that was going to happen maybe 3-4 months ago.
Yeah, many weeks ago.
But hey, you know what? Like we said to kick off the episode, I wouldn't want them to write off the season in November or January or February, even if a bunch of us are, because we see the skill on the team and the other teams around them and the standings and stuff like that. It's, you wouldn't want the team to think that way.
No, exactly. You definitely don't. I mean, with how poorly we started, the writing was on the wall how this season was going to end. But I mean, if the players start mailing it in October and November, then holy shit, you know, they're, you know, at what point do you get to withhold salary?
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about Kuzmenko. I put a bit of a poll up online yesterday, or was it this morning? Anyways, I put it up earlier, and I wanted to know your opinion on this. What do you think of the future of Kuzmenko and the Flames? Do you want them to try to extend him this offseason? Try to flip him for assets, or still not sure?
I'm kind of still not sure, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have a problem if we did sign him. It depends on how long that term is. Like, it's, for me, it's no more than 2 or 3 years.
So, do you think he'd be asking for a raise?
That's a hell of a question. Let's find out.
So his contract is 5.5 right now, and he's got a 12-team no trade. He's got next year as well, right? Like, he's not a pending free agent, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, we do have one more year with him. I think an extension should be something that happens maybe mid-season for him. You know, let's see what kind of drive we have, and, you know, if we're not going to sign him, or if he's not going to sign, then he's a movable piece at the deadline.
Yeah. I kind of agree. Also, I think that this line with him, Huberto, and Sharon Govich, I know they're not putting up a whole lot of numbers. They're putting up a little bit, but they're not putting up a whole lot of numbers. Mm-hmm. I see a lot there when it comes to chemistry that looks close, if you know what I mean. Like, it's not quite there, but I feel like if they worked on it, if they played together for another couple games, or for like the rest of the season, and then they play together for half of next season, maybe starting at the beginning of next season, I feel like Kuzmenko could have another one of those, you know, 30 plus goal seasons that he's had in the past, and Huberto could get point per game ish, maybe a little bit less, maybe a little bit more, who knows? And maybe Sharon Govich could replicate his 30 whatever goal pace he's on too, right? Like, I really like what I see. I like that these days when Huberto's throwing blind passes, it actually is to where those guys like to be. Even if they're not there at the time, I find those guys like to be in the area where Huberto likes to throw the puck. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they've gelled well. They look good together. I do find Kuzmenko to be somewhat of a lazy player at times.
He's not the defensive player. It's
well
advertised, and I don't know if that'll ever fix, right? He's 29, isn't he? Or 28.
Yeah, 28. I mean, this is only his, effectively his second season in the in the league too, right? So I mean, it's
a sophomore slump.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. You know, he's got a great shot, right? And he's very creative with the puck too. I do appreciate watching him when he's got the puck behind the net and the effort that he goes to try to get the puck either out front with a pass or to muscle his way through.
That whole line and their board battles offensively have been very impressive over the last three or four games, I found.
Yeah, no, I agree. Sharangovich is a winner. I really can't say enough about him, but I think the combination with Kuzmenko and Huberto and Sharangovich, I think given another year, I think they could actually become a really good line together and actually put up a lot of points.
I agree. Given Sharangovich starts winning more faceoffs, but
correct.
I do think that line has a ton of
possibilities. Yeah, they've got a lot of promise. Yeah, I think they've got a lot of promise.
And I wouldn't mind. I think, you know what? I pretty much just agree with you on that. I think Kuzmenko probably rides about half of the year next year before we figure out, before anybody, including Conroy, figures out if he wants to keep him or not. I don't see him being flipped in the offseason. I certainly don't see him walking for nothing. I don't know yet. I don't think Conroy knows yet. I don't think most of the fan base knows yet. I'm going to look and see what the poll said here.
Let's go to the people. What do the people say, Dylan?
Actually, you know what? The people say most of them say that they'd like to see him re-signed.
Huh. Well, there you go. The fans have spoken. Make it happen, Greg.
Yeah. I'd say
eight times eight.
It looks like about 60% of them try to extend him. 53%, sorry. Now that I figured out how to do that, 53% of them say try to extend him this offseason. 25 say try to flip them or try to flip them, and 21 says still not sure. So there's that. I'm still not sure myself. Let's quickly wrap up talking about Wolf. I know you're not a big fan. I kind of want to get into it with you. Do you see a future for Wolf in the league? Like a bright future?
I mean, I definitely see a future. Given more games, I can potentially see him being a starter. I don't think he's there yet, but I think he's got a lot to learn. I think he spends way too much time on his belly. He already takes up not nearly enough of the net, just given his size. So I find he goes down way too quick. and it's burnt them a few times already so far this year.
It has. You know what? I've noticed that he notices that too. He, on those plays where he looks small, it pans over to him, like the camera pans over to him, and he's like talking to himself about it. Like he knows that he needs to stop doing that. And again, the dude has like, I don't know exactly how many games he has. Like, is it even a dozen yet? He'll get there, I think. I was expecting you to say that, honestly, that you weren't a fan and that you weren't gonna like see a long future for him in the NHL.
I mean, I don't know where I'm at with him, to be honest. I haven't been super impressed with him. He's played 11 games, started 9.
Yeah. And I think his total body of work, I'd say, is pretty much what you expect from a young prospect goalie. Like, you don't see many, like, and I don't mean like Carey Price or whatever. I mean like a young prospect goalie who's come up through the minors and through the WHL and all that type of stuff and had development time, but hasn't ever been touted as the next big thing in the NHL except for by Flames fans. I do think that he's going to be our starter. I don't know if he's going to be a Vezina caliber starter. I don't even think he will be. I think he'll be in between mediocre and Vezina.
And that's a pretty wide range.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is he's going to be 9 somewhere 10-ish. Around the spot of an NHL goaltender.
I mean, like NHL, somewhere between NHL mediocre and NHL elite.
Okay. I mean, you may disagree. I don't think there's any NHL goalies that are below that. Or else they're playing in the A. Anyways, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with him. I don't see. I mean, I could see him being our starter if we're still trying to rebuild and figure shit out.
Oh, I don't mean next year. Him, by the way.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying if we're pulling an Edmonton Oiler, and in 6 years we're still in the middle of a rebuild. Yes, absolutely. I think he's going to be our starter. I don't think he's going to be our starter when the team starts moving forward with success, unless he shows a whole lot more than what he's shown us so far.
So, yeah, I don't think he's shown. He hasn't shown yet that he is an NHL starter, but he also hasn't shown that he's not to me. He's showing me that he might have it in him. He has also shown me that he might not. It's way too early to tell, in my opinion. There's a fuck of a lot of people who are already saying, oh, he's got nothing, he's terrible. And other people are saying, oh, he's a god and, you know, the next big thing is like, and there's like no in between, and I don't get that. He's been fine. Like,
yeah, he's been okay.
Yeah,
but like, if you've watched the 12 games that he's played, you know, and I'm including last year against San Jose at the end of the year,
yeah,
and if you come away from that saying he is a god and I can't wait till he leaves the charge because he's the best goalie we've seen in a decade. I can't even say anything nice about that situation. Yeah. You're just plain wrong, right?
Yeah. But also, if you're saying, he's horrible, okay. I feel the same way. Like, he hasn't
been horrible. Like, he's literally just been okay.
Yeah.
He's
been better than Markstrom last year, and he's been better than Vladar this year. So there's that.
Sure. That's an extremely low bar.
I know. It's a very low bar.
So basically what I'm saying is, yes, he is better than I would be in net.
Yeah.
I mean, I get why he's there. They need to give him the tryout, right? He's earned the right. Yeah. You know, he's won all his accolades in the WHL. He's won his accolades in the AHL. So, I mean, it only makes sense. Let's see what he's got. It's up to him to see if he's going to solidify himself as a really good starting goaltender, or if he's just going to play his games and become a backup and then just fade into the sunset. I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
There's still a lot to be written in the Dustin Wolf saga.
There's a wide range. And before we put Dustin Wolf down here, that accountability thing that I was talking about earlier, that we were talking about earlier, that goes for our goaltending too. I don't think Dustin Wolf should get the vast majority of the rest of the starts just because he's our young up-and-comer or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that not giving Jacob Markstrom starts after the season he's had with the, quite frankly, ass team in front of him gives the organization a really bad look. Like, if you're not playing your veteran goaltender at the end of the year as your starter after basically being a Vezina caliber goalie,
slow down.
Then you're probably going to have some free agents in the future being like, so you're saying if I play very well, I'm not going to play much. Maybe I just won't go to Calgary then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I also feel that Markstrom is still sulking just from his body language in his game on Saturday. And I'm talking about his body language.
Sulking from Tanev and Hanifin and...
Just the whole, whatever he was sulking about there at the deadline.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And if he truly is, then I don't really care what his beliefs are, but he seems like he's already checked out, and so
I don't think he's checked out. He's playing great hockey. Maybe save the last game.
He's played one game since that whole shit happened, and that was on Saturday, and he was not playing great hockey.
Well, I'm saying this season as a whole, he's played very good hockey, and he's had one game since he returned from injury. Like, that's not.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I personally don't think he had an injury.
I don't think you're allowed to put a guy on IR if they don't have an injury or something like that.
Sure. There's a lot you're not allowed to do. He's had a good season. I put him nowhere near Vezina, but he's had a pretty good season, right? He's saved more games than not this year, opposed, obviously he's a far
more card games from... than we've wanted them to.
He's kept us in pretty much every game. He's had a pretty good season, but he can be his own worst enemy, and his own thought process and his own attitude have always been a problem with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we've got what, 12 games left, so let's give Wolf 3 of them, 4 of them maybe.
I was going to say Markstrom should get 7 or 8 of the remaining games, and Wolf should get 4-ish, 4 or 5.
I can go with that. It's the only way we're going to find out what Dustin Wolf truly is.
And I think 4 or 5 NHL games out of the remaining 12 is a good stretch, especially considering he just had a few really good games, right? No, maybe not really good. Sorry. He had a few games in a row that he played. So he's getting that experience. And I think as a AHL call-up, getting 4 out of 12 games is great, as opposed to earlier this year when he'd come up and get 0 out of 3.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think having Vladar going down for the rest of the year for hip surgery, you know, just it opens a door, right? So it's up to Dustin to just
take it.
Yeah, it's up to you, kid.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I mean, the elephant in the room when it comes to Vladar, right? Is that what has been plaguing him for the last half a season? Who knows?
Maybe.
If a goaltender requires hip surgery, I would imagine that's going to affect his movement in the crease.
I think Vladar was not. I think he had that one good season. I really liked Vladar coming in because I watched him in Boston a few times and I thought he was pretty good as a young up and coming goalie. But then he had that one really good season as Markstrom's backup when we had a really good team that often controlled play and we had a third pairing that scared the shit out of people and a second pairing that could shut any line down and a first pairing who was relatively dynamic. Like, he had a really good team in front of him that year and he played well. And I think he's better than what he's shown over the last 2 years, but I don't think he's that much better than what he's shown over the last 2 years. I think he just is what he is.
Yeah, I mean, his first year was his best year. I mean, given his numbers, it's like last year was a disaster for both him and Markstrom, and this year, unfortunately for him, his numbers are worse.
Yeah.
By quite a bit. After 20 games sitting at an 882 save percentage and goals against average of 3.62. That's not going to cut it.
No, not at all.
And who knows what we can get for him on the in the trade market.
My prediction is that he gets waived at the beginning of next year and goes to the AHL and is our AHL starter next year. Because I don't think anybody's going to trade for him.
No, I can see that happening. You know, and who knows what kind of goaltender he becomes after his surgery. Maybe it gets back to the 21-22 Dan Vladar that we saw. Who knows?
Hopefully. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
I don't think so.
No. So much for our half-hour-long episode we were planning on doing, but here we are. That happens almost every time we say we're going to go short.
Yep. Every time.
Yep. Make sure you like the video. Share us with your friends. Check us out on Twitter at @armchairgm_pod or X or whatever the fuck you want to call it. Again, you see me all over the place on Reddit and on Facebook. It's pretty obvious. Armchair GM podcast. And yeah. Thanks for joining.
Go Flames.
Cheers. Go Flames. Let's draft high and cheers.
Draft well.